And welcome to another episode of the Westlife podcast. I'm your host, Josh Barnett. We are sponsored, as always, by West Ashfield Leagues, the best place to watch the game live and loud. And you can do that when we play Manly on Saturday, which we are previewing in our episode tonight. And we are also sponsored by MG Pump Solutions, but Big Shano's been on the tools since 3 a.m. this morning, so he's out. And my other co-host, Rob Bashara, he is living it up north on a holiday, having a Justin Pascoe break, a mid-season hiatus. So giving him the night off to just relax, and the boys will be back next week. But I'll get to my super sub in a second. At Westlife Pod, give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter. Like my co-host right now, who's an OG of the Patreon and in the Discord, get access to our Discord, which is really firing up now. There's a few dozen of us in there, and game days are really fun in there. So if you want to join for a couple of bucks a month, patreon.com/Westlife, and welcome to those watching live on our YouTube as well as Facebook and Twitter. But please go to our YouTube and give us a subscribe and a like there. My co-host, our super sub, filling in for the guys tonight, Aaron. How are you feeling heading into the game against Manly this week?
Nervous is probably the best way to put it. We all know who's coming back for Manly, so it's going to be a tough one. Fingers crossed they the boys lift like they did for the two games against the Rabbits and the Eels, and we see a similar result in our favour, preferably.
I think I might be less nervous this week because I just have no hope. Like, I have almost zero hope. I know that we beat the Bunnies and we beat, obviously, Para with good efforts. But I think I was more nervous last week playing the Dragons. And sure enough, we shat the bed and lost that one. Whereas this game, it's like, well, I've already written it off to be a loss. So anything else is house money. But who knows? The boys, hopefully, as we've said all year, we just want them to, this year's kind of like, can the boys put in a good effort and put up a fight? And
who's make putting a good their name game up for it. 2023?
Yeah, that's it. Obviously we'll go through the team list and who's out, who's in, and that sort of thing. We'll start with a bit of news. So a few things happened this week, well, not really happened. A lot of these news things kind of stuff that happens during the week that don't really happen. So the first thing that hasn't happened, and nothing's really happened, is there's talk that Dane Laurie, the Gold Coast, the Dolphins have their eye on Dane Laurie to play fullback. And as the West Tigers head over the bridge this week to take on the Manly Sea Eagles at Four Pines Park, you can watch all the action live and loud from the lounge or sports bar this Saturday with kickoff at 3 p.m. You can enjoy a cold, refreshing tap beer from our garden bar with selected tap beers from $5.80. West Ashfield practices the responsible service of alcohol. West Ashfield is the home of the West Tigers, and West Ashfield are at 115 Liverpool Road, Ashfield. For more information, visit West Ashfield's website at www.westashfield.com.au or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at West Ashfield.
He's off contract not till the end of next year, so they literally can't do anything until November. He can't sign elsewhere. By the sounds of it, it just sounds a bit, Aaron, a bit like his management giving the Tigers a bit of a hurry along to throw out an offer there. But do you think there should be any rush with Dane, giving him, extending him beyond next year?
I think it was a week or 2 weeks ago or something, I said that I think we should give him a bit more time this season. Obviously, we do have the luxury of having until November before the Dolphins or any other club can negotiate with him. I stand by what I said. I feel like give him until at least maybe the end of July, see how he's tracking then, and then offer him the extension then if he's still going well. Because obviously with him out again at the moment, we're losing a bit of time to for him to come back from that pretty serious injury he finished the year with last year. He was only just managing to find his form before he copped the injury against the Rabbits. And we're not expecting him back until after the bye, I believe it is, or just before it.
Yeah, around then, yep.
Yeah, so he's going to take a bit of time to get back into the swing of things once he comes back yet again. So
yeah,
we do have the advantage of having time on our side, so I think the club should use that time.
Hmm. I guess the risk is if he comes back and starts to hit his potential and what we expect of him, that kind of pushes his price up. So I guess it's a you can think of it either way. Do we go offer him a reasonable deal now with a bit of risk and kind of lock him in? Or, I mean, for him as well, is he confident to sign a contract now of, say, throwing a number at like a half a mil sort of mark, which is not a lot, which is about half of what your top fullbacks are on around the league? Would he extend for a couple of years for $500,000? Maybe not. He's probably better off backing himself for the rest of the year and maybe turn himself into a $700,000 player by the end of the season. So, yeah, like you said, no one can do much until November. So, I wouldn't rush. I think both parties shouldn't really rush. I just think this is his management saying, Can you at least give us an offer or something? So, AJ in the comments, feel free to comment through the show for those watching on Facebook and YouTube. AJ reckons 700K for 3 years. Would you throw Dane 2.1 over 3 years yet, Aaron?
Not yet.
I think that's a bit risky considering his injuries and injury history. I mean, he's got the potential. It's if the whole attitude. So we know Shane has said in the previous shows that he's got a few inside word that his attitude is not the best when it comes to training and that sort of thing. But whether or not that's true, who knows? But I mean, to throw him 700K. I mean, for a fullback, it's not a lot. But I think he'll eventually get that. I think it, by the end of the season, he'll be good enough and prove he's good enough that 700K over 3 years will be a good deal, but maybe a little bit early. Rachel, thanks for joining us again. Rachel says, if we don't have Laurie, what other fullbacks are available in the market? Do we have anyone coming through? Well, in the trial, we had young Logan Dillon, but he's not even making the New South Wales Cup side. Did you think much of Logan Dillon in the trials, Aaron? He impressed me a lot.
Yeah, he impressed me too. I really liked watching him. He didn't have any fear under the high ball because he had a fair few of those sent his way. I reckon he showed he's going to be more than capable of having a crack at the big leagues when his time comes.
Just a random one from Dom Jet. Any truth that Papa... I think he means
Papa Lee?
Yeah, Papa Lee, not Papa Lee, who's plays for the Raiders. He means
the Eels one.
The Eels one that's coming to us. Any truth he can get an early release? Surely not. The Eels wouldn't be that silly. They're going for
No.
It's their make or break season. I could not see him. Unless you're talking about Josh Papali from the Raiders. Let us know, Dom. But I'd love Josh Papali from the Raiders. But
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah. I mean, Canberra, he might be talking about the Canberra one. I mean, Canberra's season's going down the toilet, so maybe they'll pack it in. But yeah, would be a pretty good signing, Origin forward. But next bit of, so this isn't confirmed news, but It seems that Luke Garner is heading off to the Penrith Panthers from next year. They've offered him a couple of years to go play under Ivan again. Aaron, thoughts on losing LG?
I'd be very disappointed to see him go. Absolutely amazing hole runner. He showed us time and time again over the last couple seasons just how damaging he can be if you give him a short ball, short flat ball, and he just barnstorms his way through. So good pickup for the Panthers. Obviously, they're trying to replace Kickow over there, so he's probably not on the same level as Kickow, but pretty solid pickup for them regardless. I'm hoping, though, what it means, because I've heard Manly might have a bit of trouble potentially getting Kelmer over there next year now with salary cap dramas and everything. So maybe it opens the door for us to see if we can try and convince Kelmer to back out on that deal, or if they can't have him, to re-sign with us again.
Yeah, because obviously it hasn't been officially released or confirmed or registered, however you want to look at it, Kelmer Tuilagi going to Manly. So technically, if it hasn't been registered but the contracts have been signed, is it Kelmer within his right to change his mind, or is it he's signed a contract and it's in the club's hands now? Like, what would be the rule there? Can Kelmer say it?
I'm pretty sure there's a cooling down period. I'm not sure how long it was, but you probably remember the drama with Tedesco back when the Raiders tried signing him and he backed out of that because he'd already signed. He backed out of it because of Robbie during the cool down period. I forget how long that is, though. I think it might only be a couple of weeks or something.
Yeah, I think it depends. I think it can change from contract to contract, but it's well expired. Like, it was a done deal. Shane heard from the club it was a done deal when we were at the round one game. So yeah, I'd say a cooling off period, but fingers crossed. I mean, if we can keep Kelmer, and then like our four pack would just be sensational next year. So, and we have the cash there. I've been told we have enough for a marquee player and enough for a decent rotation player. So Kieran's saying, if we can't get Nakora, he's on Facebook, very short on the edges. We can't get Nakora, we're in trouble. We can't play Seifert in the back row. Joffa isn't much chop. Blow off an ACL isn't promising. Yeah, I think Blaw, you know, fingers crossed, our friend of the show, Sean Blaw, can come back and be the player, have a nice healthy season, be the player we expect him to be. Who do you think will be our starting, assuming as it is now? We're cashed up, so fingers crossed we can go out and buy someone. What's the starting four pack as you see it at the moment for next year?
Well, okay. Okay, so assuming Tamo doesn't re-sign or things like that, I'd say we'll have Twoll and Stefano as the front rowers, Appy at hooker. The second rowers, we'll have Papali'i as one. I think the best thing for Blore will be to start his season in reserve grade, because obviously he's going to be coming off a full season of not playing at all, and I don't think throwing him straight into the top grade will be good for him coming off an ACL. So if we have Kelmer, I think if Kelmer does end up staying, he would probably partner Papali'i there. Otherwise, we've still got Big Red, and he can fill in at least temporarily.
Yeah,
if he doesn't, then pick up the bench role a bit later on.
Yeah, the depth. I mean, Kieran's got a point. The depth then is losing LG, Luch, and Kelmer in one hit. So we're cashed up enough that hopefully we'll find someone. So I think we've got about a mil and a half ish to spend. So I'm not sure who's on the market, but there's a few teams I think we might get a bargain somewhere. Like the Bulldogs, I think, are having trouble with their cap. Manly having trouble with their cap. So maybe we'll find someone who's not necessarily on the market, but just pops up. So we're in a good position where we can make a move like that. So,
yeah, someone from somewhere may need to leave to save a bit of cash for their team.
Yeah, and it'd be nice if a team pays half a contract of a player that plays for us rather than
vice versa.
A little bit of non-news, but a little rumored news. So apparently Leichhardt Oval is going to get some cash to get upgraded. Darcy Byrne in a West Mare tweeted it out. And it was on Channel 9 News today that the state's going to give a bit of funding to upgrade some ovals around Sydney. This is awesome, and we've said it before, the club is pretty almost certainly going to be Leichhardt Oval in Campbelltown only next year, maybe other than going to Tamworth for one game. I'm predicting 8 Campbelltown for Leichhardt. That's my prediction. That's what I think should happen. I think we're out west. Balmain background, and Rob and Shane agree, we're all ex-Balmain fans, but we think Campbelltown should get 8 games, but Leichhardt Oval getting an upgrade, will that change things? If you can up the capacity, because at the moment I think they shut the gates at, 17,000 now?
Yeah, around the 16,000, 17,000, yeah.
Yeah. And if the team starts playing well, 17,000 is not going to cut it. I mean, were you there in 2005 when we somehow got 23,000 against the Rabbitohs? Were you at that game? Were you old enough to go to that game? How old were you in 2005, Aaron?
I was 12.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you could have squeezed in there. Were you there that day?
No, I wasn't. I've been in Orange since I was 3, so I went to very few games before I became a member in 2016. So,
yeah.
I think I went to a game at Leichhardt. It might have been against Manly in the late, sometime between 2006 to 2010, maybe. I have a vague recollection of a game where it was pelting down rain and my brother and I... My brother and I were huddled up under the awning, under the big screen there. So
yeah, right.
I have vague memories of that, but I can't remember too much more than that. So
I've always thought with Leichhardt, I think it's the northern end, whatever the end the trees are on, that and Brookvale have done this as well. So one side that used to be hill has a huge stand with corporate boxes and stuff. Now you'll notice it when we play them on Saturday, obviously, to just put a stand there, add more better facilities, upgrade the toilets and that sort of thing. If you can up capacity to 22,000 to 25,000, that'd be ideal, and maybe we will play half our games there. It's just maybe somewhere to park would be nice as well. But I mean, I know there's a pools nearby and sporting fields, so maybe they could fund it somehow with some sort of business or something. You could build a grandstand, because at the back of Leichhardt Oval, there's a bit of a hill down the back. So down the bottom of the hill, you could have, I don't know, cafe or some sort of business or something to be implanted in there, where you could have somewhere you can have pre-game drinks or something. Just think outside the box and turn that side of the hill. So you still got the charm, you still got the Keith Barnes stand and the Latcham Robinson stand, the main stand. The hill's still there. Just keep the scoreboard's fine. Upgrade more toilets, more bars, because the queue to go to the get a beer at Leichhardt Oval when it's busy is ridiculous. So upgrade maybe some better food facilities rather than just a couple of a canteen on the hill and a canteen next to the grandstand. So the old girl could do with a few few different things here and there. So fingers crossed. We can, yeah. Alex Rolls says, yeah, rent out the toilets first. I mean, the toilets in the grandstand, I've never had, this is coming from a male. I have no idea from a female perspective, because obviously females take a little bit longer to go to the toilet and they always have bigger queues. But I don't think it's been a long time since I've had to wait to pee at like at Oval. There's plenty of urinals, plenty of space to get the business done under the grandstand.
Pretty wide open area in there.
Yeah, it's the queues for the food and drink that always seems to be pretty tough. And obviously parking, you got to park a mile, but that's fine. I can cop having to park walking a kilometer. Then you got the pubs nearby and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, you get to walk past the Orange Grove. You get to walk down Mary Street, enjoy the atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, I would hate if the grandstand ever got knocked down or something, because I had my wedding photos in front of that. So it would be pretty sad to see the Wayne Pierce Hill scoreboard get touched. But I think just you could run with the hill. I wouldn't put seating over the hill. It's totally fine. Build a grandstand, just like basically look at what Brookvale have done.
Yeah, I really like what Manly have done at adding that that northern grandstand. Because they played the Bulldogs there in the pouring rain, you could see how good the grandstand was, and that was the side of the ground where they usually had their big screen up. So obviously, I don't know what they're doing with that on that side of things now, but. It is a very nice look, because you've still got the hill, you've still got everything there that makes a suburban ground, and you're not taking that away. So doing the same thing at Leichhardt, adding that extra stand on the northern side, because at Leichhardt there's very little standing room over on that northern side, isn't there? You've got the seats, like 6-7 rows of seats or whatever all the way around. You've got the little standing section right in the middle between the goalposts, where the West Tigers fanatics group like to stand with their banner, and a little bit of standing room around the back.
They basically stand on top of the toilets. There's not much at all. Like the toilets must be 100 years old, but they stand. There's like a... Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is under there?
Well, you still there, Aaron?
Yep.
Either my internet or your internet is a bit jumpy. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay now.
Okay. It's a toilet block. It's like a dingy toilet. Like if you walk down the stairs and it's literally a gutter that you literally.
I didn't even know that.
The Great Depression. Fingers crossed. The old girl, gets that funding a little bit. So, last kind of bit of non-news in the news is who will miss out on Magic Round next year. They're trying to work this out. Obviously, there'll be an odd number of teams next year with the Dolphins coming in. Now, you would think it'd have to be a New South Wales team that misses out. You couldn't see the Cowboys, the Broncos, obviously the Dolphins, or the Titans not playing at Magic Round in Brisbane. The Melbourne Storm, you think that they'll want to have Melbourne involved. Aaron, who do you think it should be, or do you have any ideas who it might be? I don't know how they're gonna work this out. Maybe a team puts their hand up and they get a financial reward or something. But
I like the idea of whoever claims the wooden spoon this year sits it out.
Rob, that's
an idea.
Oh, Rob Bashara is in that. He's watching. He's in the chats. He suggested the Warriors. I think you got to involve as many. I think it's going to be a Sydney team, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't see them dropping out the Warriors or the Raiders. So, the Warriors or the Raiders. So you've got the New Zealand influence. You've got the Canberra team in there. It would have to be just one of the New South Wales teams, whether that be the Knights or any of the other Sydney teams.
Yeah. Tim said apparently we offered to be the home team again based on reports. I don't understand why does it have to be home or away? Why can't we just make this round neutral? Like, why can't we have 25 rounds? You have 12 home, 12 away, and a magic round. I guess if someone's got the bye, they've got to make up. Maybe the team that has the bye gets in, they have to play their game, a game in Tasmania or something, somewhere that's neutral as well to make up for it. All so it's just all 17 teams play a neutral game as well as a 12 home, 12 and away. So they're going to have an extra round anyway. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very complicated having an odd number of teams. Shout out to Dom, said it's a Glenn Morrison toilet end. Do you even remember who Glenn Morrison is, Aaron?
I don't have a clue, to be honest with you.
So Glenn Morrison played for Balmain in the late 90s and then West Tigers early 2000s, end up going to the Cowboys or the Bears. It was one or the other. I think he went Ask Bears Cowboys or Ask Cowboys Bears. I can't remember. But the reason I know so much about him, he went to Terrible High School where my sister went. But obviously, he's much, much older. He's a Central Coast boy. So I think he played for the Entrance Tigers growing up, possibly. So I know my Glenn Morrison facts. So being, I idolized him a little bit growing up, being a local boy and a Tiger. So thanks for that blast from the past. Dom,
So how would you do the
team that misses out? Yeah, Alex says Alex is a fan of the Wooden Spoon. Misses out. Michael said, yeah, financial reward for someone, whoever misses out. I think for sure, because I think there's a financial gain for going out there. So,
because we make a fair chunk of money being the home team, don't we? We make a decent little profit off of that for sacrificing in one of our home games.
He played for Parramatta too. He did. He finished his career. I think he went to England after Parramatta. A lot of Glenn Morrison chat in this episode tonight. Didn't expect that. So Tim saying magic round Tamworth Easter Monday at Homebush. So do we definitely have Easter Monday next year?
We alternate, so I imagine we would.
Yeah.
We'd have to have a lot of home grounds if that's the case. How would you do the split then? The 12 games.
Why don't we just play Easter Monday at Leichhardt and lock Eels fans out?
I mean, I'm down for that.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to lock us out of Combank. There was only about 200 of us in there this year, and that worked out well for them. But, Easter Monday at my place of worship, why not?
They wouldn't make us do it at Combank again, would they?
So maybe the ratio... hopefully it's Homebush. I think I can't see us playing Eels at Combank ever again as a home team. Campbelltown, maybe it'll be a 5-5 Easter Monday, Tamworth. Yeah, that's a good point because they would only leave nine games for Campbelltown and Leichhardt. So
6-3.
You'd probably think of 6-3, which sucks. Like, we're literally having three home games. I don't understand. There must be a financial incentive to have the home game at Magic Round. It just doesn't make sense how half the teams get an extra home game. It has to be a money thing. It's always down to money, isn't it?
I'd be curious to see if after all three Magic Rounds so far, if we are the only team who's played a home game at all three, other than Manly, because Manly have had the same game there against the Broncos as a home game.
Yeah.
Every time they've done it. So if us and Manly are the only two teams that have had three home games, or if there's been any teams that have been, or other than the Broncos, that have been the away team every time, I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah. I'm sure, yeah, maybe Justin Pascoe is just, they dangle a check in front of him and he takes it.
Snaps it up.
Rachel, why give Parra an advantage by playing it at home, Bush? Leichhardt would be an amazing Easter Monday. Yeah, it would. I was being a bit facetious, saying take it
we
to
wouldn't
Leichhardt.
Get as big a crowd.
I like it at home, Bush. I liked it having 40,000 people. As much as I hate Eels fans and hate that franchise and wish nothing but misery for them and hope they've never won a grand final in my lifetime, and I hope they don't ever win one in my lifetime. I do enjoy, and I'm a little bit biased. I live walking distance to Homebush as well, which helps. But I mean, it's very, very rare do we get 40,000 people to a regular season game, and just I enjoy. I think it's a great day at Homebush. You got the Easter show next door, so you can walk out of the game, walk over to the Easter show, watch the fireworks, and which I've done a couple of times. It's just the atmosphere. The thing about rugby league games is they don't make it a day out. It's not enticing enough to go to a rugby league game. And with the Easter show and making a festival and big event of games, you'll get crowds. But we need to have games that get people motivated to get off the couch, because it's too easy and too good to stay at home and watch it on TV. So I enjoy the spectacle of playing at Homebush. But you are right. If we played at Leichhardt, we're more likely to win. So, maybe we will. Yeah, maybe we will do that. Because the contract is obviously up for that. Tim, let's hope they change Tamworth to a trial. I don't think so. I think the Tamworth thing is going to happen.
I think they're trying to get it to a point where every team takes at least one home game to a rural or regional center. So and like a regular season game. And it's really good to see. I really enjoy watching all of these games and seeing the crowds they get at places like Bathurst, Dubbo, Tamworth, Mudgee, wherever else they have them.
Michael, there's talk the Warriors are going to play every game in New Zealand next year. Have you heard this, Aaron?
I've heard it. I feel like it's a little bit over the top. Maybe not every game. If a few teams took home games over there, that'd be cool. But I mean, it'd be good for them if they do. But I guess it'd be a good reason to say they can skip Magic Round and just have a bye and spend the time with their families there. And
yeah, go skiing in Queenstown. Yeah, I don't. Why would the NRL do this as repayment for missing out on the last 2 years? Is it down to that, or
I'd say so. I think it was because their CEO, Cameron George, I think his name is, he suggested it in a like an interview or something a while back, and there was an article that came out about it not long after that interview. I mean, I'm all for it if they do it, but I don't think every team is going to be willing to take a home game, or 12 teams are going to be willing to take home games over there. So,
well, we've done it in the past. We've played, didn't we beat Melbourne in New Zealand a few years ago?
We did. That was 2018. That was as part of a double header that day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Stu, it's about moving the games around New Zealand. Okay, so they're going to go to the South Island and around different. I guess it's to grow the game in New Zealand. I get it. Yeah.
Reward the fans as well.
Yeah, but they're trying to grow the game in New Zealand. They're trying to make an imprint on rugby union. So yeah, that kind of makes sense. I mean, if everyone has to do it, then I guess I'm not that angry about it. But that's another home game that we'd lose. We're just going to play every home game outside of Leichhardt.
12 home games, 12 different venues.
Yeah. Yeah, the club would put out, look, when going to suburban grounds, not Bank West or Homebush, that's not going to, what do you call it, Combank anymore. But also we're going here, 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 and here. There's only seven games left for Leichhardt and Campbelltown. I could totally see that happening. Mitch, that's not a bad suggestion. So instead of New Zealand getting every game in New Zealand next year, have Magic Round in New Zealand for 2023. That's not a bad shout.
They may do that in 2024. I think the only reason they'll do it in... I think the Queensland Magic Round deal runs out at the end of next year. And I like it because it does give them a chance to have the Dolphins probably in a marquee time slot for that round. I think that'll be a very big draw card for next year's Magic Round. But I do like the idea of the Warriors hosting it in 24. I think that'd be really awesome. Give the crowd over there an absolute festival of footy.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that idea. It's a cool big. You get heaps, whether it's Auckland or Wellington or whoever hosts it. I'm assuming it'll end up being to the highest bidder, and you'll get 50,000 Australians flying over for it. So
they may just have to do it at the biggest stadium. I think there was a game a few years back between the Warriors and the Sharks at a really big stadium, but that might have been an oval stadium. I'm not sure if they'd want to host a Magic Round in a stadium like that, but I mean, you'd fit a decent bunch of people in there.
Righto. Well, the news section, we made the news section last for half an hour, Aaron, which is a pretty good effort. I was a bit worried we'll be short on things to talk about tonight. So low grades this weekend. So I did see a comment from Adam. Not that one. Where was it? Bring back 3-day games on game day. Well, Adam, you're in for a treat this weekend because our flag and our cup sides are both playing at Brookie before first grade. So 11 a.m. Jersey Flag are playing, and then 12:40 is our cup side. So our Jersey Flag boys are probably the only ones any chance of winning that day. So get down at 11 a.m. To Brookie if you want to see any chance of winning. A team that does have a big chance of winning this weekend, though, our Harvey Norman girls are playing 1 p.m. Sunday against the Bears at North Sydney Oval, and Jess Sergis is making her debut for the club. I found a pretty cool clip of her earlier talking about the Tigers are going to try and put in for a WNRL team. Aaron, how good would that be if we could actually get, as I try and find the video, I can play it for everyone. How cool would it be to have a WNRL team?
It would be absolutely bloody amazing. I believe the club's actually already put the bid in. They did. I think they might have done that before the Harvey Norman season started. But yeah, I listened to this video with Jess before, and it's really good. She seems very impressed with what the club's doing.
Yeah, I won't play the whole thing, but I noted around the 1 minute mark, she talked about the team. She'd like to set the team in a WNRL spot. If I can get it to work.
She's been with a few different teams in the NRLW so far, I think, and she's also played for a couple of other teams in the Harvey Norman comp as well. So she's got a bit of a comparison or a basis for comparison with us compared to those other teams and how our systems are going so far.
Well, I can't get that to work, so that's a big disappointment. I should have clipped it before. But, yeah, she was just talking about how she's keen for the West Tigers, yeah, to get a team. And she was really proud of how – she was saying how the club really looks after their Tasha Gale girls coming through, and they prioritise their junior girls coming through to the Harvey Norman team. And she really likes to see loyalty and the club – are doing a really good job with the girls team. So fingers crossed. To have her and then Betty Walsh as well in the side. Obviously, Betty Walsh is out for the season, for the Harvey Norman season. But fingers crossed we could get a WNRL team next year. But the girls game's just going from strength to strength, and I think it might be long till maybe 10 years the entire NRL comp will have, you'll have your girls game before your men's game. So
well, I've heard of three clubs so far, at least, or maybe a fourth one, that have put forward bids to join the two expansion teams in 2023. And obviously those bids will stay live for the 2024 expansion as well. So far I've heard about the Tigers, I've heard the Sharks, and I've heard the Cowboys, and I believe the Panthers may have as well.
The Panthers makes the most sense to me. They have a massive junior base out there. There's a lot of girls, a lot of Pacific Islander girls out that way that would play rugby league. So the Penrith actually makes, just quietly, it probably makes more sense than the West Tigers. I thought for sure they'd be the next Sydney team in, and then I thought, you got to go Cowboys as well. You think North Queensland is such a, they represent such a massive part of the country. I thought they might have been the next ones to get in, but I guess we've already got Titans and Brisbane in there. But
already two of the Queensland teams. Maybe give it until 2024 for the third one. Maybe they will throw two more Sydney teams in for 23. Yeah. Us and the Panthers, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've got the biggest population, so you would think we'd have the most players mathematically, but we'll see what happens there. Righto, on to first grade. So we are obviously playing the Manly Seagulls 3 o'clock on Saturday. What's your thoughts? Do you like Saturday Arvo games, Aaron? They're we don't always get... It's very rare for us.
We don't get that many of them, do we?
Yeah. It's a very AFL time slot. They love their Saturday afternoon footy, whereas rugby league tends to be Sundays. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Saturday afternoon, watch the footy, and then you can go out. Not that I go out anymore because I've got a toddler, but watch the footy and then head out after it. It's not so bad. But so team list, so Stafford Toa's at fullback, on the wings, Kepa Owa and Ken Mamalo is back, Ollie Gildart and Luke Garner in the centres, Brooksy and Hastings in the 6 and 7 again, Jimmy Tarmow and Zane Musgrove in the front row, Jakey Simpkin is back at the 9, much to the pleasure of Shannon Robb at the very least. I think most people are pretty keen for Jake rather than Jacob in the number 9. Again, in the second row, Kalmatua Luggy, Alex Seafar. So Luciano Leilua obviously has done his hamstring. Now, NRL physio, he reckons that with that kind of injury that Luch might be a goer by Sunday. We're playing Sunday next week, so he should be a possibility for next week. So probably expect Luch to be named for next week's game against who's next week?
Cowboys.
It's Magic Round. Duh. We just talked freaking 15 minutes about Magic Round. Joel Fingali at lock. Tyrone Peachy is back in first grade. He's at the 14. Alex 12, Tom McKayley, and Stefano Utoikamanu. He said on Sunday at West Ashfield that he was hoping to be back next week. No one believed us when we said that on the show. So there's no way he can be back. And sure enough, Big Steph is back. So we'll start with Big Steph. Aaron, how pleased are you to see his name back in the side, albeit on the bench?
I'm very pleased. Whether he's on the bench or whether he's starting, it'll be good to get the minutes back into him, because what, round two was the last time he played, so he's been out for nearly 2 months. He needed surgery on that, was it his ankle? I think it was his ankle.
Yeah, so, yeah, we were thinking, yeah, possibly halfway through the year.
The original post was saying probably around the bye, but just before, just after the bye. So to see him come back with us still having, one, two, three, four games left before the bye, huge.
Yeah, fingers crossed he's not coming back too early, but, I mean, he was keen, but the way he was talking about it at the Ambush event last Sunday, he seemed pretty keen to get out there. So that's awesome to see. Other changes. So Kenny is back. We definitely missed him last week, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Good to see him back on the wing. But obviously, David Nofaluma has a concussion. We just can't take a trick with these bloody injuries that poor David Nofaluma. That head knock he got sees him ruled out for Saturday's game. But good to have Ken back, Aaron.
Yeah, good to have Ken back. I think the thing we missed the most last week was his height. Obviously, AJ did decent as his replacement, but I feel if we had Ken in that position, at least two, if not three of those high balls that went Kepa Owa's way, they would have been tries with Big Ken out there.
Yeah, just when it got to those last tackles, I was thinking the same thing. God, I wish we had Ken. Ken out there, because I mean he was out jumping. Who was his opposite winger against the Storm that he kept out jumping?
It was a pretty decent Meany? Was it Meany?
Yeah, he was just giving him grief. He should have had the game winning try in that game. It's just under the high ball. Kenny's just about our best high ball winger that we've had at the club? Can you think of anyone the West Tigers have ever had better off a cross-field kick than Cameron Marlowe? Paddy Richards comes to mind, but he wasn't anywhere as good as Cameron Marlowe. Let us know in the comments, guys, if you can think of anyone. But I really can't
What about Lottie? Was he a winger?
He was. Of course he was. Yeah, Lottie's a good shout. We had Lottie in his later years, but Lottie's probably
I'd say best, yeah, him, Paddy Richards, and Ken. I'd have to say are the top three in no particular order.
So our wingers in 2005 were what? Daniel Fitzhenry and who's our other winger? 2005. Fatawira in the centres with Shane Elford, other winger. I think I've got a brain melt. Can't think who our other winger was. Someone will tell me in the comments. No Luciano this week with Big Red in the second row. Aaron, this having no Luch, that's really worried me because he's just been such a force this year.
Mm.
If Luch was in this game, I'd give us I'd probably put a bit of money on us to cover the start at the very least, but no Luch. That just takes so much petrol out of the tank. What are your thoughts on losing Luch?
Yeah, just the meterage and the post contact meters he can make, just carting three players upfield on his back is probably the big loss there. We obviously don't have to worry too much about the Luch balls, the passes that go astray, the offloads that go astray, otherwise he's a very big loss. And a week or two, hopefully it is only the 1 week and he comes back against the Cowboys.
Oh, it was Pat Richards. Sorry. Next week. 2005. Fuck, Pat Richards. Sorry.
Oh, it was, Jesus Christ. It was Patty. What are you doing, Josh?
We're just talking about him. Yeah. Patty Richards, maybe because he was in a hyperbaric chamber the week of the grand final. It was only like the biggest story of grand final week, but Jesus Christ.
Well, so I just went and checked. Sorry, I checked Mamalo's opposite number, or the player he was playing against in round one was actually George Jennings. I forgot that Meany was in the halves, so he was out jumping Jennings over there.
Yeah, who ended up doing an injury that night too, didn't he? So Peachy is back on the bench. Thoughts? West Tigers fans are off Peachy. He was struggling to get back into the first grade side, but I think him on the bench, does that make a little bit more sense to you than Jakey Little?
It does. He can cover He can cover a lot more positions than either of those two boys. Like, Jock's a half, Jake's a hooker. Peachy can play center, half, hooker, prop, lock. So he offers a lot more versatility there, and it's allowed us to, as you can see, we've got three front rowers on the bench, which is much better than having the second rower and the half slash hooker.
Adam Brady, how could you forget the guy that has scored the greatest grand final try? I mean, it's probably the most, in the 3 years I've done this show, that might be the most embarrassing thing I've said. I could remember Daniel Fitzhenry, but couldn't remember Paddy Richards. But Vaughan says Peachy needs to stay disciplined. Yeah, it
stay it on the field.
The sin bins were costly, but I think he can add a lot to attack, and he obviously can plug in to anywhere. So we'll see what Madge. Madge does with the rotation.
If there's a week that's going to test Madge's rotations, it'll be this one, because we've actually got a pretty decent bench with the three forwards, including Twoll and Big Steph.
Michael just gave us a score update in the Broncos game. I've got it on as well.
I'm watching it too.
Thanks for that. It's always good to see the Bunnies lose. And I'm assuming with a 14-point lead in 14 minutes, the Bunnies are going to lose at home. So... a crisis in Redfern. Love to see it. Let's see the media kick them for a week. Instead of us, yeah. Anything else in this team list that stands out for you as anything? Any changes you think? Is there anyone? So Lids, Madden, Junior Tupo, Tuki Simpkins, Austin Diaz, Junior Polga, and Fanil Pohl at 18 to 24s. Is there anyone in there do you think deserves a run over someone in the 17, or do you think that's pretty much the best 17 we can put out at the moment?
I mean, considering the injuries, it probably is the best 17 we could put out. Gildart, obviously, is probably still the weak link in that team, especially on a defensive standpoint. I don't know about, does Junior Tupo play center? Maybe he'd be worth a run there in place of Gildart, but he's very fresh considering he's only just recently signed for us. So, yeah, Ollie's probably still the number one there with however many we have out.
Adam's saying Austin Diaz to get a crack. I'd like to see him get a crack as well. And I feel like this game, like I know like from Madge's point of view, no game's a write-off, but as a fan, like I think we have very, very little chance of beating Manly at Brookvale on Saturday. So I would like to see just a kid get a crack and try something. But I've been keen to see Austin Diaz come in, get a crack at first grade as well. But we'll have to wait. Unfortunately, righto. So we put it out on Twitter. So let us know in the comments. We're talking about our favorite of all time, West Tigers, the Manly game. So, as what's yours?
Mine is a somewhat more recent one. So the 2017 game against them at Leichhardt in round 23, we had a really poor first half, scoring the first try and then conceding 22 points off the back of it. Coming back in the second half and winning the game 30-26, I think it was. So, yep. And that was one of the first games I went to at Leichhardt, and the atmosphere over in the grand, not in the grandstand, in the stands in front of the hill where I was, in the hill behind me, we went off our tree when we scored that last try with about a minute and a half to go. That was a great atmosphere, and my voice copped it the entire trip home. So probably one of my favorite games that I've been to, period. And I haven't been to as many as I'd like to. Obviously, I got my membership in 2016, and I really only started going to games then. I'd been to a few beforehand, but as far as memories of the actual game and heading home afterwards, that game against Manly's definitely up there in at least my top three.
So that night, our try scorers were Kevin Agama, Malachi Watene Zelezniak, Tui Lolohila got a try and kick 5 from 5. Elijah Taylor and Jesse Sue scored the other tries. So, and funny enough, Grant Atkins was one of the referees that game. He's our video ref this week. So, so across on Twitter, Matt mentioned 2010 at the SFS round one. I definitely remember this one. I'm almost certain I was at the game you were talking about. I was trying to remember it, but round one, at the Sydney Football Stadium in 2010, I think was a bit of a comeback as well. I think we were down a bit in this one as well. Lottie Sakiri scored Lottie Sakiri's debut for us, scored a try. Blake Ashford, Chris Lawrence, Liam Fulton and Gareth Ellis all getting tries that night. I definitely remember the SFS that night. That was a great way to kick off. It was a pretty pretty awesome season.
We'd like a comeback against Manly, don't we? We had that one last year as well, where they were absolutely rolling us in the first 65 minutes and then we stormed home.
Adam said, yeah, SFA, I think that's the one we're talking about now. So he said, we were down 12 to 14 in the last 10 minutes. Yeah, it was a massive comeback to Kiri's first game. Yep. He's named mine. So 38-14. So I'm wearing the jersey that they were wearing that day. I did that on purpose tonight. I went to my jersey collection thinking, what jersey can I wear on the show tonight that will give us good juju for this weekend's game. So 2014, I don't know if you remember this game. It was pouring rain, as it usually does at Leichhardt. And round five, we won 34-18. David Nofaluma got a double. Chris Lawrence got a try. Aaron Woods got a try. And Robbie Farah got one as well. And there's a pretty famous photo. I don't know if you've seen it in the rain. Someone took a really good photo. I'll try and find it and bring it up on the screen. Do you remember that game?
I'm trying to think about it. I'm not sure I do. I might remember it when I see the picture. That's what I'm hoping for right now.
I'll see how quick my Google is googling. Someone else mentioned. Anyone else mention any in the comments? What have we got? Sorry, I have to. Rachel, anytime we win with DCE playing, it is. The airborne Nofaluma try over Manly. I wasn't at that game. It was at Campbelltown, as Adam said. I can't remember what
that might have been. 2016.
Yeah, that's definitely probably one of the best West Tigers tries of all time. Trying to find a goddamn photo in the rain. It's close enough. It's not the photo, but this one.
Rachel's comment about when DCE plays. I was talking to Josh before we came on air about how our last try we scored in that game, the one I mentioned before, was Malachi, and they ended up sending it up to the video ref because DCE fell over, And it was very, very clear in the replays that he absolutely took a dive to try and get the obstruction call, because they had the 2-point lead there and would have won if the try was taken off us. But the video ref saw right through him, and we got the try and we got the win. So I especially enjoyed that, because bloody flop artist, DCE.
Yeah, he's so annoying. I mean, from what I can tell off the field, he's a pretty nice guy, but on the field, he's just one of those players that you just you love to hate. There's this photo here. If I can get it to come up. But basically, Aaron Woods scored a try and went up to the fence and celebrated with the crowd, which was pretty cool. Yeah, this is a different angle of it. Not that the photo that I remember, but Braithen Astor in there. That kind of ruins the memory a little bit for me. But yeah, that was a great game to have been at. And it's always good betting Manly. Someone else on Twitter mentioned a Balmain game 1997, which, funny enough, I do remember exactly where I was when I watched it. So I'll try and find the tweet itself. But Balmain in 1997, from memory, we were winning 12. It's pretty funny that Tigers fans bring this up, because we actually lost. But so bad were the Tigers, the Balmain Tigers in 97, that an almost win over Manly serves as a good memory. So I still remember, sure. It's going to be meaningless to everyone else, but I still remember my dad, we were at a barbecue, and I have no idea whose house it was. It was his house I'd never been to before, never been since. And I was watching the game by myself, and I still remember being excited when Paul Sirin had made a break and basically it almost set up the winning try. So we lost 12-10 from memory, and Paul Sirin almost set up the winning try. Adam Shannon Nevin was halfback. That sounds about right. It was around that sort of time. So 97, obviously Manly were just unbeatables, and we... although the Tigers came eighth that year in a top seven, funny enough. But
why doesn't that surprise me?
Were you even born in 97, Aaron? What year were you born?
Yeah, I was born in 93, so I was 4.
93, so you're 4. So you obviously wouldn't remember it, but I'll see if I can find the stats for it. So, yeah, 14-10, sorry, not 14-12. So here's... the team. So Timmy Brasher, one of my favorite players growing up, James Langaloa, Wilton Kennedy, Jason Webber, Michael Withers, who was our goal kicker back then, winger goal kicker, Michael Gillette at 5'8", Stephen Jolly at halfback. I don't even remember him. Adam Starr, prop, Darren Centre, Paul Sirinen, Mark Stimson, Ellery Hanley, Glenn Morrison has had his second mention on the show tonight. Friend of the show, Shane Walker, Buckets O'Neill, Hudson Smith, and Fox Sports commentator Adam Nable were on the bench. So, Shannon Nevin was fullback for Manly that game. He was playing for them, not us, because he ended up coming to the Tigers. Vaughan, did we have Adam Nable? Yep, you smashed it. Yeah, Ben Duckworth. I had a poster. Big League brought out a poster of Ben Duckworth. So he was on my wall as a kid, and I doubt anyone other than Balmain Tragics would even remember who he was.
Yeah, a bit before my time. I was around, but a little bit before what I'd have any hope of remembering there.
Tim says, was that game the first at Leichhardt after playing at Parramatta? I don't think so. It was round 12. I definitely know this because my dad was actually working at Parramatta Leagues Club and used to get me into boxes for Sydney Tigers games.
I've just brought up the draw for that year for the Tigers.
Yeah.
Round 1 and round 12, both were 14-10. Actually, no. Both were 14-10. We won 14-10 in round 12 away, and we lost 14-10 round 1 at home.
Oh, we might be talking about opposite games. That might be right. We literally lost 14. We won 14-10 at Brookvale.
It doesn't say where that home game was, though, but I'd assume it'd be Leichhardt if they played all the games.
It was Leichhardt. Yeah. So, and the year before we were at Parramatta. So, there you go.
Yeah, we relived two games for the price of one.
Yeah. So one was a loss and one was a win.
Same scoreline, just different result.
What day? I don't even know what game I'm remembering now. I'm sure I'm remembering the loss. It was at Leichhardt. Yeah. So it was the first game back at Leichhardt. So I read out the team list from the wrong game. But Gary Edwards on the wing, Craig Donaghy in the centres. Ellery Hanley was at 5'8 that game. Buckets started. Glenn Morrison at lock. Hudson Smith, Adam Starr, Craig Grant, Adam Nabel were in that team. But yeah, the Manly side, they had Craig Hancock at fullback, Danny Moore, John Hopewadi on the wing, Craig Innes, Terry Hill in the centres, Tuvi, Craig Field, David Gillespie, Jim Sedaris, Mark Carroll, Steve Menzies, Daniel Gardner, Nick Kosef, and then Tony Whipu and Hunter on the bench. So they had some elite players in that team. And I think it was that game I'm thinking of. It was definitely the loss. I still remember losing. It must have been that game. I hope everyone enjoyed my random memory from what is that, 27 years ago? Yeah, I was 9 years old. I still remember watching that game. Anyone else drop any in there? Phil Rogers, 2009, 2019, Benji Langford, the field try. Do you remember that one, Aaron?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
The stats for that one.
Wouldn't mind seeing a good old Benji length of the field try from him back in his heyday, but
yeah, 2009 was a funny season. Like we were starting to come good. Obviously 2010, 2011. So we played Manly 1918. That was round 21 at the SFS. So the try scorers that day were Taniela Tuiaki, arguably the greatest winger we've ever had, Bo Ryan and Benji. Benji kicked 3 from 4, and Robbie Farah kicked the field goal. No, that wasn't the Robbie Farah Leichhardt field goal. Obviously, that was the SFS. There was another Robbie Farah game-winning field goal. I'm sure I was at that game. I've been to so many games, man, that I forget more.
They're all a blur.
Yeah, well, I've just been to so many. I'm getting old. It's starting to lose my memory. Crazy. Anyone else drop any? Thanks, everyone. 32-12 for the Broncos as well. Bubba Kennedy.
Yeah, they've started to roll them.
Obviously, yeah, Bubba Kennedy, who was in that Balmain team, is the father of William from the Sharks. Dom, can't remember the year, but when we were playing Manly at Leichhardt, we were leading, then a hailstorm passed through, the game was stopped, and then Manly came back to win. Are you talking Balmain or West there, Dom? can't remember that one. Start a game journal. I should have. It's too late. Well, the thing is, back then, there was like social media wasn't really on your phone back then. It kind of like you didn't really have. When did I get an iPhone? Maybe I did have an iPhone that year. But the cameras weren't very good. Whereas now, like I've got photos from nearly every game. You at least take a selfie with the missus or whoever I'm with at the game, or you check in, or that sort of thing. But start a game journal. I'll write a book going to West Tigers game that no one will read. Vaughan, uncle. Someone told me it was his dad. Maybe it is. Bubba Kennedy is William's uncle. I thought it was his dad. Righto. Thanks filling in. Vaughn, any signings rumors? The forum's going a bit crazy with potential signings. Well, Shane normally has those for us tonight, but he's tucked up in bed after a big night of doing real man work for MG Pump Solutions. So join us again Monday night, 8:30. I'll let Shane get a good night's sleep and then get on the phones tomorrow and see what he can find for us. But if you want us to dig through the forums and just repeat that, it's not very good radio. We'll just talk about memories when we're 9 years old instead, Aaron. But thanks for being the last minute fill-in as well. Predictions for the game. What's your prediction for the score on Saturday? Let us know in the comments what your prediction is for Saturday.
Oh, my prediction for Saturday. I hope we keep it close. Obviously, we were able to in rounds 6 and 7 with those 1-point wins, and we only lost by 6 last week with a bit of a makeshift team. I'm hoping we can keep it close. I'm leaning towards a loss by maybe about 10 points at the moment. Tell you one thing I'd love to see, though. Twally scoring his first try off a short ball from Hastings where he tramples DCE.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be...
Hastings, short ball on to Twally, and he just wallops DCE to score his first try.
You predicted at the start of the year on this very show, though, that his first try
I did
would be Magic Round, which is next week. Can you wait another week for a 12 try?
I could wait another week, but this would be top quality viewing that would have me running around the house like a madman.
I think if we lost 30-6 and the 6 was Alex 12 scoring a try, how would West Tigers fans react to that game? Yeah, well, I think that would ease the pain a little bit if our try was Twally. But
you'd have the blokes at Roasted Rugby League losing their shit because they put their Twally prayer up every week now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and obviously it was on Fox Sports the other night, so it's become a big meme, big Twally. But the day he scores a try will be like winning the grand final. But I just think we're going to struggle for points. We struggled to score points against the Dragons, and now we're coming against Manly at Brookvale. If we get 2 tries, I think we'll be lucky. I'm feeling like a 24-10 loss.
I was thinking a 24-14.
Yeah, around that sort of mark. If we can keep them within 10 points, I think we're doing well. But, I mean, going into the Eels game, I was kind of feeling the same thing. So, who knows? But I just think with missing Luciano, missing Noffa, missing Dane, like, it's just so much strike power we're missing at the moment. So, yeah. But fingers crossed the boys come out, put in a good effort. If you're not heading to Brookvale, head to West Ashfield, watch it on the big screen. I'll be up the Central Coast watching it with family. Are you heading to Brookvale on Saturday, Az, or are you watching at home?
I would knock off work at 2 o'clock, so I'll be heading home and watching at home.
Beautiful. But put the beer in the fridge. Everyone enjoy the game on Saturday. I'm running out. My voice is running out. I don't normally talk this much. I usually have the boys to there's usually 3 or 4 of us to take the load. My tonsils aren't coping. It's like back in the day, Aaron, when we had just you and I on the show.
Yeah, I remember first couple of shows I joined you for.
Yeah, I can't believe people listen to me talk by myself for so long. But we really appreciate everyone, a dozen or so of you that have stuck through for the hour of, a lot of living in the past tonight. But fingers crossed the future isn't too bad on Saturday. So, Drop our little line in the comments, guys. But Aaron, as always, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Big thanks to Aaron for filling in on the show tonight. So Aaron has the Cap Bros podcast. So check those boys out at Cap Bros P on Twitter and Cap Bros on YouTube. And they stream every Monday evening on YouTube. So big thanks to Aaron from the Cap Bros podcast.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the West Life Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by West Ashfield Leagues Club and as well as MG Pump Solutions. If you could please subscribe if you'd love to hear us again. We're going to have episodes twice a week this season, Mondays and Thursdays. So we're going to, as the season rolls in, be sure to catch us every week. And if you can, give us a like on the socials. So at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Search for Westlife Podcast on Facebook. And if you'd like to take part in the show, patreon.com/Westlife. It's just a couple of bucks a month to help grow the show. We'll see you again next time on the West Life Podcast.